entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the show. We want to just say that we, from time to time, can't be on the air for you. So we do play a recording. We try to be here every week, but Dr. Allen has other commitments at times, as do I. So we love you guys, and we hope you do enjoy those recordings when we can't be with you. And so I want to thank the One Institute for making it possible for us to be with you on the Fridays that we are. Sue Wagner. Are you on the line? Hi.
I'm on the line. Thank you. I'm here. I'm just going to let the audience know if some new changes are going to be occurring in October. Starting in October, on October 6th, we are moving the Friday night radio show to Thursday night from 5 to 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. You'll always still be able to call in, same phone number, same station, same LA Talk Radio, and you'll be able to listen to the archives. And then we're also going to be adding a bonus. We're going to offer a live webinar after the radio show from 6:15 to 7:45. There will be an admission fee to join into that webinar. It's low cost. For information, it will be posted within the next couple of days on our website, www.wantistore.com. It'll be open interaction with Dr. Allen. There'll be about 7 people that will sign up ahead of time if they want to be on the hot seat to talk directly with Dr. Allen. We do have something similar in LA on the first Monday of every month. Dr. Allen speaks at the Courtyard Marriott in Culver City from 7 to 9. It's $10. It's a question and answer forum. And every Wednesday, the first Wednesday of the month, Dr. Allen speaks in Costa Mesa at the Costa Mesa Community Center, and that's a $5 donation. So we wanted to offer it to the audience that's out of the LA and Orange County area to have more access to have their questions answered. And Dr. Allen still has her private practice in Newport Beach and Los Angeles, and we also do private telephone appointments. So if there's people out of the country, out of the state that want to work with Dr. Allen, just go to our website, or you can contact info at drpatallen.com. That's drpatallen. And you can always check our website for links that will guide you to what's going on. And that's www.drpatallen.com. And please join our newsletter to get updates on all of our upcoming new events. So with that, and one more thing, we will be offering 1-day life script classes and 1-day dream analysis classes. And those dates are posted, and you can register on our website, Want iStore, as well. Later on during the radio show, Dr. Allen will talk briefly about life script and dreams. I think that's about all I have to advertise for Dr. Pat Allen and the Want Institute as far as what services we'll have upcoming. Let's go back to you, Kelly.
All right. Thanks, Susie. That sounds really exciting. I think that the webinar that you're offering after the radio show is a really cool idea.
Hello, I'm on the air.
Hi, Dr. Allen. How are you?
I'm fine. I am just fine. I'm impressed with you ladies and how you're doing this. Is it a radio show or what? What is that? Is this called a radio show?
Yes.
Internet. Okay, good. So with that in mind, how are things going, Kelly? And what can I do to serve the public?
Things are going beautifully. And you know what we are going to do is what we always do. We're going to answer questions tonight.
Yes.
and see what's going on with people out there in our universe.
So, if there's anyone new out there, I'd like them to know I'm a marriage, family, child therapist. I'm a transactional analyst. I'm an addiction specialist in alcoholism and sexual addiction, certified. So I've got a broad range of skills, and I want to use them.
Awesome. Caller, are you there?
Hello.
I think we might have a caller. Caller, you're on the air.
Okay. I get to ask a question.
Yes, you do.
Okay. Well, thank you for taking my my question. How do you deal with a man that you really like, and he's always like hot and cold? With paying
you're hot and cold, or he's hot and cold?
No, he is. He is.
Did you want him to be your man or your boy?
Man.
Okay. Then you're going to follow his lead as long as it's moral, ethical, and legal. See, here's one thing you've got to remember. If you want a man who's a man, he wants to be respected by you. And therefore, I strongly recommend you don't ask for more, better, different love, affection, time together, or sex. Because when you ask for those things, you're doing the manly thing. We women, when we're with men, now not every man is a man. Many men are boys. They haven't finished their Fisher King wound. So we have the veto right, but they have the initiative right. So when he says, I want to make love to you, how do you feel about that? Then you can go into what it takes to make love to you, which may be monogamy, continuity, longevity. And then if he says, no, I've got to experience you, get to know you in the conjugal mm-hmm. sense. And so you then would say, you have every right to want that, but that's not the way I operate. So I may not be what you want. Women who are women have the veto right. And men, when they're men, not every man is a man. Many men are boys. And many women are mamas. And so we all take different roles. So when you want more, better, different love, affection, time, and sex, you're moving closely into being his mother or his boss or a man.
Oh, wow.
Did you have any question about that?
I got it.
Okay. Are you going to do it?
Yes, I'm going to do it. I'm going to relax. And
relax and follow as long as he's moral, ethical, and legal.
Okay.
Okay, passive, patient, and vulnerable. Those are female skills. Passive.
And I have a challenge with being vulnerable, too. Showing him the vulnerable.
Most women that want to be men have a problem being vulnerable because you're used to leading.
Yes,
do you want to be respected or do you want to be cherished?
I want to be cherished.
If you want to be cherished, find a man that you respect enough that you're willing to follow him as long as he's moral, ethical, and legal.
Okay.
The more you respect him, the more he feels cherished. The more he will cherish you when you do that.
Okay.
All right.
Because I notice if I don't chase him, then he'll come closer to me sometime. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So
thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks, caller.
Yep.
That's the way it goes, doesn't it, Doc?
Yes, it really does.
Oh, we think we have another caller.
All right.
Are you there? Hello, caller. You're on the air. Do you have a question?
Oh, yes. Thank you. This is my first one.
I can't hear them.
We can't hear you, caller. Can you speak up?
Hi. This is the first time I call.
Oh, good. Great.
Yes, I'm excited. Thank you. So I've been listening to some of the archives, and my question is like twofold. One is, would you suggest that I create a hi-bye letter for a man who I haven't seen in over 12 years?
Yes, I've got people. I have people doing that for high school and college sweethearts that inadvertently or mistakenly fell apart. Yes. Mm-hmm. So feel free.
We had a relationship for a year and a half, and then
that's a relationship.
Yes, and so now, and then I've never dated. I didn't do anything in all these years, and now I'm starting to. Basically, I just opened a profile online, and I feel like I have to do this process, like even for myself, just write the letter for myself, you know, just as a process of
culture. Please do.
And because I see that when I'm looking at the online dating thing, like the man that I see in the picture, I feel like I almost have to ask for his permission to date, even though that sounds ridiculous. And I'm comparing them to him.
So you're not done with the man from your past?
Probably not. I mean, I'm in sort of like fantasy obsession. And
then
and I'm embarrassed
you would
about
do
that
best to finish the lesson. You see, the way life works is if you have an opportunity to have a relationship with a human being, straight, gay, or lesbian, and you finish it prematurely, you have to get another person with that same set of characteristics to finish the lesson. That is the most amazing thing. The way life works is you have someone at one level, very often like dad or mom, and then if that doesn't work, if you stayed and gotten the lesson, you qualify for the next level. And so the improvement on the quality of the people that you attract and are with improves with age if you take the time to get the lesson from the session with the person. So please feel free to write the hi-bye letter. And if you want, you can call and I'll listen to it and you can send it.
To him?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
All right.
I will do that. Thank you so much for your work.
Good.
Bye.
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 Thanks, caller. Well, that was very interesting questions tonight.
Yes.
And we have some here on our Facebook. Let's take a look. Oh, we've got another caller coming in, I think. Let me see. Yeah. Okay, great.
Hello.
Caller. Oh, it looks like they dropped, but I'm sure they'll be back. They always are. And so let's take a look what it says here on the Facebook question lines.
Thank you for calling LavishLife.com Search. If you're calling...
Okay. Here we go. Dr. Allen.
Yes.
It says, wow, this is a long question. So I may edit it down a little bit. Let's just see. I got a call tonight on my hi-bye letter. Thank you so much for your kind and excellent advice. It helped me make it clear and helped me make...
Thank you for calling LavishLife.com Search.
Me feel better. A very nice man contacted me. on an online dating site, and he asked for my number and called me immediately and tried to arrange a lunch that same day, but he was flying that night, so he was very busy and couldn't meet. He wanted to arrange to see each other later, but I was at work and couldn't. He called me that night before traveling, but I was on a date and couldn't get his call. Sent a message 3 hours later saying I was sorry for missing it. He wrote me the same evening he came back from his trip, and I was with my girlfriends, and he said he didn't want to interrupt and he would talk to me the next day, but he didn't contact me again. I'd love to meet him in person. Is it okay for me to contact him in some way without chasing him?
No, because that is chasing him. A man who wants you will get in touch with you. And if you interrupt that flow, you may be stuck with the job of being the mama leader and the pursuer, and that may not be what you want. So either decide that you want to be yang and competitive and conquering and controlling, mm-hmm. a real women's liber, or you want to be passive, patient, and vulnerable to his leadership. I recommend that we all date three men at least three times each to see what they're made of and to have diversification, having three. When you date only one, you over-identify, you over-bond, and that can be a disastrous thing, like any addiction.
Oh, I agree. I just had a conversation with a young woman who went out on one date, Dr. Allen, and like you said, it was that instantaneous fantasy monogamy where she began picking out China patterns. Essentially, this gentleman only took her out on a coffee date.
I know.
So, it's, you know, I mean, they get really focused.
Three men, three dates each.
I think that's a great plan. Here's another question for you. Dr. Allen, I've just started we've got a call coming in, I think. Let's see. Well, I'll go ahead and tell the call. Caller, are you there?
Alma
is not available. Please leave Alma's a message after the tone.
All right. Dr. Allen, I have started a relationship with a man about a month ago, but there are times
started it. If she started it, she's the man.
Yes, and
he or she who speaks first is the man.
Exactly. But I'm not sure yet, because this is a written question.
Go.
It says, I started a relationship with a man about a month ago, but there are times that guys still hit on me. One of them still wanted to see me after I told them that I'm seeing someone on a one-to-one basis. He said that he is interested in exploring a friendship. So we went out and I became very attracted to him. Although we just kissed, I felt guilty about seeing him. My female friend told me to stop. My male friend told me to keep my options open because I'm not engaged. This man called again and talked about having a relationship with me. I said I didn't want to explore a friend. I said, didn't you want to explore a friendship? He said that starting as friends took the pressure off, so he wanted to have a relationship. I'm getting myself into trouble, but he's very attractive and intelligent and athletic. I'm confused. Could you offer me some insight?
Well, first of all, you sound like you want him, and I think we better find out if he wants you. Kelly, did she say he chased her?
Oh, yes. She said he's chased her. He started off saying he wanted a friendship.
Oh.
But now he's saying he wants a relationship.
All right. But the relationship has to be built on monogamy, continuity, and longevity, that they both have the same long-term goals, not just a weekend romance. And they both have to decide what monogamy means. And they both have to decide how often they can see each other or talk to each other.
Well, I think it's interesting because she's saying that she's already agreed to be in a relationship with another man first. And now this second man has come into play and he said he wanted a friendship, but now he's saying he wants more. So I can see her quandary here is that she's very attracted to man number two, but she's already made an agreement with man number one.
Then she can go back to man number one and say the following. She has to get an appointment. I want to talk to you about our beginning relationship commitment. Is it convenient? Yes. I so appreciated your offer for the beginning of a relationship, monogamous, continuous, long-term. However, I have met someone that basically turns my light on to such a degree that I want to explore the relationship offer that he's giving me. If you are interested in finding out later if I'm available, please feel free to call. Otherwise, I want to explore this relationship and I wish you well. She's got to cancel the first guy to go with the second guy.
So essentially, she has to, as we say in the legal field, break the contract.
Not break it, renegotiate it, dismantle it.
Mm-hmm.
The word break seems like undisciplined behavior. What I said to her, what I said to her to say to him is, I know we made that commitment, but I've met somebody that I really want to explore.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so I want to let you know.
Okay, so our Facebook gal, I hope you heard that because I think that was definitely what you were looking for. Here's another one, Dr. Allen. Dr. Allen, can you explain the ritual card? What is it?
Oh, yes, I would love to explain the ritual. It doesn't have to be a card. It can be a letter or a note or whatever. We each have our rituals, our birthdays, our Thanksgiving, Christmas, Hanukkah. There are times which are classical celebrations. When you're dating someone, I have found it quite stroking and pleasurable to honor a ritual with some kind of recognition. Because by being a ritual, the person cannot say that you're writing a love letter or seducing or doing something. You're literally doing a ritual which is friendly with potential, but it's worked very well for the last few years since I've been checking it out and find that it does stroke and it doesn't do any harm.
Very good. Very good. We have another one. Dr. Allen. Oh, caller. Hi, caller. You're on the air. Do you have a question?
Oh, okay. Hi. That was unexpected.
Hi.
Hi, Dr. Allen.
Hi.
I have a question for you.
What's that?
I finished reading your book, Getting to I Do.
Good.
And I have some questions in regard. So when you first said about the first 3 months of the relationship where the man is supposed to be courting the girl.
Well, it doesn't necessarily. The first 3 months I call the perfect period when everybody, you know, dresses nice, takes a bath.
Right.
The rituals are all adhered to. The second 3 months, the imperfect, those are not followed as closely. And there's the beginning of getting to know the person and the dark side of them as well. The third 3 months are when you negotiate. Where is this going? And is it looking good or not? The fourth 3 months are when you are committed to the relationship. I have a little pledge. I promise on my honor, never will I commit to a finite, fallible human being. Instead, I will commit to the relationship with a finite, fallible human being. I will do my half, and I hope to God they do theirs. Because the only way you know you love yourself or anybody else is the commitment you're willing to make and keep. So in the first 3 months is usually the affectionate, the infatuated period. And basically, everybody's on their good behavior. So with that in mind, what did you want to ask about the first 3 months?
So my question is, this guy was dating me, and we were dating for maybe about less than a month. And I was questioning his actions and behavior a bit because I thought that he was an alpha male. And we spoke,
which means his brain was functional and his heart was functional. Some people have brilliant minds, but they're very insensitive. That's a smart beta. Some people are very lovable, but really there's not much going on upstairs. They're called wonderful duty dates, wonderful friends, but maybe you're not going to be compatible with them because you're an alpha and you need somebody that has a matching heart and a matching brain that you can relate to both sides. So what does that statement do for you?
Well, okay, so we talked about, going on dates, and you spoke of like 2-to-1, right? He pays for two and I pay for one.
Well,
and
that's after, wait a minute, no.
Yeah.
Courtship is one person pursuing the other with gifts, tokens, dates, until they say and decide, I want you to stop dating other people.
Right.
I'm stopping and I want you to stop. Once you get that question, if you agree that you are going to be monogamous, continuous, and long-term, very often, then you can start the process of, if you're the respectable one, not the cherishable one, you are going to be doing much of the leadership, the giving, the protecting. And the person that's with you will receive your leadership, your giving, your protection. But the 2-to-1 doesn't start until you're in a committed relationship. Up until that time, when somebody says, I want us to stop dating other people and date monogamously, until that time, the courter is giving, protecting, and cherishing, and the courtee is receiving. Do you understand that?
Okay, so during that process, the 2-to-1 doesn't exist.
Not until you're in a monogamous, continuous, long-term aiming relationship.
Okay.
You're in the courtship period.
Okay, so
which is
one
person chasing one person.
Yes. Okay, so I was in a monogamous relationship with him because we both agreed on that we're not going to see other people.
Okay, you had the contract. And were you the respectable giver or the cherishable follower?
I was a cherishable follower.
So
the only problem was I just felt he actually brought it up one day that we were getting ready to go for dinner. And he sat me down and he said,
yes,
that you haven't treated me to dinner yet.
That's right.
And I would, And so I said, okay, so I was going to do that tonight, actually.
So what he did was, after you were committed, he asked for the relationship. Well, if he had known how I do it, and you had known how I do it, you would have known that once you're in a committed relationship and you're the cherishable one, to every two things that he gives, does whatever, two phone calls, call him once. If he takes you out twice, have him over for dinner. Do you see?
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
the 2-to-1 ratio, the giver is the giver until they're not the giver, but the receiver is give back as soon as you start the committed relationship.
Mm. But I just feel like, where do you draw the line between 2 to 1? Because I feel like he's almost counting everything. Like, if he picks me up, he counts it as, like, you know, like a gesture.
He wants a convenient, equal relationship. You want more of a covenant. You want more mm-hmm. of him giving and you giving back. Mm-hmm. So you two need to decide what style of relationship you want. Is it going to be a convenience when it's dollar for dollar and equal, which is fine?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it a codependency in which one person does more of the giving? Mm-hmm. Or is it a covenant where one person is acknowledged as the financial support for the system, the other person doesn't make that much, and the other person gives back what they can in the way of maybe lunch or whatever they do, but it doesn't match up with the giver. So which mm-hmm. kind of a relationship do you want?
I don't want the convenient relationship.
You don't want the convenient. You want more yeah. of a covenant.
I want the male to be more giving.
That's a covenant. That actually okay. was a legal choice, and people signed it up as a contract when they got married in Louisiana, Arizona, Minnesota, and Michigan. Now it's only legal in Louisiana. And in that case, one person paid most all of the bills for the couple, while the other person provided perhaps a sensuous movie watching at home or something that may not have been financially, a financial mm-hmm. event. It may have been a social. It may have been some kind of... I don't know what it would be, but it wouldn't be money.
Okay. And another question is, for a typical alpha male, is it very normal for them to be extremely controlling?
Yes, dear, they are very controlling. But if they're really good alphas, they're very heart sensitive. So when they say, I want us to do this, how do you feel about it? If they okay. simply say, I want to do this, let's do it, that's a yeah. codependency. That's one in which he wants respect and cherishing, or she does, and the other mm. person gets zero. Mm.
So if he decides something and he doesn't ask me, how do I feel about it?
Then you're in a codependency.
Okay.
If you're in a convenience... He says, I think this is a good idea. How do you feel about it? And you say, I feel this way. What do you think about it? You negotiate all the deals for convenience or for comfort.
Okay.
So you want a covenant.
Well, it seems like if I want the covenant, then I will have to give up my power to him, and he will have to decide everything for me.
No, because he'll check your feelings and hopefully take them into account. But he wants the right, if he wants a covenant, to say what he mm-hmm. wants and thinks and to check your feelings. And my suggestion, mm-hmm. if you have an alpha that you're attracted to, that unless it's immoral or unethical, you do it his way. The more you respect an alpha, the more they feel cherished and will cherish you back.
I see.
Otherwise, it's a codependency, one boss and one slave.
I see. Well, the guy that is dating me right now has said something like, if you want to be with me, then you have to make sacrifices.
What he's saying is there has to be something coming back and forth between us. He's not going to be, he doesn't want to be a sugar daddy.
Okay, so in other words, that's what he's saying.
Yeah, that's what he's saying.
Okay.
I don't want to be a sugar daddy.
Sugar daddy.
Men want sugar mommies. You know, there's a joke and it says that as men mature, they often want a nurse or a purse.
Right.
So it goes both ways. Okay?
Okay.
So get out there and practice and see what fits you.
Okay.
All right. Good luck.
All right. Thank you so much.
Surely.
Thank you, caller.
Thank you. Have a good night.
Thank you. All right, Dr. Allen, here's a question.
Yes.
Dr. Allen, I bought the book Outwitting the Devil.
Yes.
But I can't remember why I bought it.
Alma.
Is not available. Please leave a message after the tone.
What was the background reference for the book?
The book Outwitting the Devil, the main message here is the fear of changing, whether good or bad, the fear of changing will cause you to drift into a stagnant place. So this book is a very enlightening book about how to courageously be your unique individual self. And for that, it's women who have the courage. I'd like the women out there to raise their hands. I promise, on my honor, to respect the men I love, even when I think I'm smarter and I could do it better. Furthermore, I promise to keep my
voicemail box of
shut.
240.
I promise to keep my yang mouth shut unless I have to call the police, the doctor, and the lawyer.
Hello? Hello?
Hi, caller, you're on the air.
Oh, hi, guys. Hi, I have a quick question. Dr. Pat, I want to get your opinion on what do you think about a guy that basically acts like he's very into you? Like, for instance, I had a guy that came to visit me for a couple of days, stayed at my house.
You? Was he courting you for a relationship?
It's hard to tell. I don't really know. I mean, we've been friends for years, and then the dynamic kind of shifted to where we both kind of found ourselves interested in each other. So I don't really know.
Did you have intercourse with or without an agreement?
Yeah, unfortunately, we did the second time around. The first time we didn't.
So what you did is you had casual intercourse. And because of that, there's a belief that any more doesn't need to happen. So what is your question about?
Why is he hot and cold? The first time that we discovered that we liked each other, we did not have intercourse at all in any way, shape, or form.
But the second time you did have intercourse.
Right. But what my thing is, the first time around when we discovered we liked each other, he and I don't live in the same area. He went back home and he kind of disappeared and, you know, but acted very lovey-dovey here, went back home, disappeared. And now the second time around when he came to visit me, he did the same thing, was like, oh, why can't I find a good woman like you? And was very lovey-dovey, very affectionate, leaves here, goes back home and disappears again. So I'm just kind of trying to figure out why is he acting very hot and cold? When he's with me, it's all about me. When he's not with me, I don't hear from him.
He sounds like a natural polygamous animal. Do you people have an agreement to monogamy, continuity, and longevity?
Unfortunately, we do not, no.
Well,
because
then
we're not.
You're hooking up. What you're having is casual sex with a friend. That's a friend with perks.
Okay.
Well, that's what you've done twice now.
Well, the first time we did not have intercourse. We just hung out because, like I said, we've been friends for many years. We never crossed the line.
But the second time you did have intercourse. And he's come back a third time and gotten intercourse?
No. He and I have only hung out twice. We discovered we liked each other. Before that, we were just hanging out as friends.
And like I said, we've known each other for years, but we never crossed the line.
I hear you.
Yeah. So now I'm confused
I'm asking to see you now.
That's the problem. When I saw him a few weeks ago, he stayed at my house for a few days, came to visit me, took me out to dinner, all that other stuff. And we kind of had a minor, I mentioned this to you the week before last when I called, when I knocked on the bathroom door and kind of entered into the bathroom when he was at my house to say I wanted to talk to him. And I know you told me that that's basically like disrespecting a man, because even if a man's at your home, it's still like his house. So
it's his
ever
territory.
Exactly. So ever since then, he called me once since then for my birthday, which was obviously the ritual stroke type of thing. But outside of that, we haven't spoken. And in the past, we would speak all the time. And I know I could reach out and text him or call him, but I don't want to. I want him to do it. But I know he may be waiting on me to do it, because in the past, I've kind of, kind of reached out and text or called. So I don't know what to think. I'm just like, why is he acting affectionate here? But then he goes home and just is like out of sight, out of mind. I don't understand that. And that was the same thing. Uh-huh.
The mistake of having intercourse without knowing each other well and your goals and objectives makes it casual. And casual intercourse does not build. It entertains, but it doesn't build.
Even though we've known each other for years, though? I mean, that's the only difference, but...
Intercourse, let's put it this way. Intercourse is when people marry physically. You see?
Right.
I mean... prostitutes pay for intercourse or are paid for intercourse. Casual sex partners periodically have intercourse, but they're not building anything. I don't hear that you and he have decided to build a relationship. You have friendship, but you don't have a relationship.
Right. No, I see what you're saying. And that's the problem. Like before I felt like was courting me. When he came out to visit me the last time, he was courting me, you know, asking about what I like outside of what he knows as a friend, taking me out to dinner, all that stuff.
That's right. Then
I stupidly was like, oh, you know what? I want to have sex with him. And I stupidly pursued that and was the aggressor. And I regret it. But unfortunately, I can't erase what I did.
Here's the asset side of that mistake. He remembers the fun you had, and there's a good chance he will come back to try to make love, have sex again. Whereupon you will say, you know, I've got to speak to you about an error I made some time ago. Is it convenient? Yeah. You know, when we got together and we had casual sex and I participated just like you did, I now realize that by having casual sex, I did not require us to build any kind of a relationship foundation, and therefore... what we did was to hook up, but it wasn't to start something. So I appreciate you expecting me to have sex with you again, but I'm not having sex with you, intercourse, again, unless we're in a monogamous, sexual, social, some form of agreed upon continuing meeting. And are you aiming towards marriage someday?
I see. Okay. Because he's been married before. He's divorced.
No, I'm talking about you.
Yes,
are
absolutely.
Are you aiming towards marriage?
Yes, definitely. I definitely want to get married and all that stuff.
The thing to say is I'm not willing to have casual sex again with you unless we both agree we're building a friendship into a love affair, into a possible wedding.
Oh, my gosh. And you don't think that would scare the man off just to say all of that?
Yes, dear. Having sex with him casually scared him off faster.
Wow. And why do you say that? I'm just curious to understand.
Because it wasn't making love. It was the passion of having sex, dopamine. And now he goes back and forth between the guilt of casual sex and the affection he has for you. I strongly recommend that you do not have intercourse unless you're building something. Okay?
Absolutely. No, I totally agree. And then I guess my last question then is with this guy, is it okay if I were to reach out and tell him that I miss him, or I can't say that? Is that just too much?
You can write the hi-bye letter.
Oh, but see, we still talk. Like, I mean, if we talk.
Oh,
it's not like
if
it's complete.
If he still talks, feel free to make a serious conversation and admit your mistake.
Okay. Oh, just out of the blue to say, basically, I want to talk to you about something, then tell him that.
Yes. I want to talk to you about something between us. Okay?
Got it. Oh, okay, thank you.
Good. Good
okay,
luck.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Hi, caller.
All right.
All right. So, Dr. Allen, yes. One of our listeners says, Dr. Allen, I missed the book about when a girl is raised as a boy. Can you remember the title and tell me what that is?
Wounded Woman by Linda Leonard.
Okay. And then we have another one that says, recently Dr. Allen recommended the book Subliminal, but I can't remember what the context was. Dr. Allen, do you remember?
It's the MTOL. Melatonin. It's about the subconscious and its precision. It's perfect. Subliminal. That's the name of it.
All right. So here's a real quick one before we have to go.
What's that?
Okay. This lady says, I'm in a relationship with a gentleman. He wants me to perform oral sex on him, and he used to perform oral sex on me, and now he doesn't, and his penis goes soft while I'm performing oral sex on him. Has he lost interest, and what can I do about it?
Whatever has happened physically, mentally, and emotionally, there needs to be a clarification of the goals and objectives for the relationship. Libido is energy that pushes people into action. Okay?
Yeah. Okay.
So they need to talk about where they're going.
So you would suggest they would make an appointment and use your tools?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Perfect.
That
so, Reed getting to I do. That's a great one, of course. And let me see. We have one more little short one, I think. Okay. Let's see. Okay. My partner wants me to get a piercing in my vagina. I feel uncomfortable with that, but he keeps pushing and pushing it. Also, he keeps talking about having a threesome. Dr. Allen, what's going on in my relationship? Am I losing him? Has he gone crazy? Is this a midlife crisis? He's 46.
He is more fascinated with the excitement of having sex than the pleasure of making love. Something's going on here.
Right.
When you become an object, you're a toy. When he's making love to you, you're part of his soul.
Right, right. Very cool. Well, we're at 49, Dr. Allen. What have you got to tell me tonight and say to everybody before we
Here's
go.
What it is. The only way out of a negative feeling is a positive decision. What do I want that I don't have? What do I have that I don't want? Followed by action or inaction as soon as possible.
Awesome. Okay, everyone, remember www.drpatallen.com. For new and updated information, sign up for the newsletter, which you can do at www.drpatallen.com. Follow us on Facebook, and tweet with us. And don't forget, we have a new format coming in October where we'll be with you Thursday nights at 5 o'clock, followed by a webinar, which you can find out about at wantistore.com. So we've got new and great things coming, and we are really looking forward to sharing those things with you. So please make sure you log on to our sites to find out all about it. And it looks like we are going to be signing off here in a minute. Where is our music? There we go.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.